Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Travel at Thanksgiving. It sounds like the right thing to do, to travel a long distance to be with family and loved ones. And a lot of people apparently do it during the six-day Thanksgiving travel period, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation statistics. Wait a minute. And by the way, who gets 6 days off for Thanksgiving? That's another thing. But the number of long-distance trips increased by 54%. So people are traveling more. That's twice the increase of Christmas travel. And the heaviest day of year of all is actually Thanksgiving Day, too, which is kind of shocking. So how to cope with these in these trying times with the prospect of travel by plane, train, or automobile? I guess we don't have to worry about train in Ohio. But joining us now to talk about all of that is Steve Stevens. He's the Dispatch travel writer. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. It's great to be here.
Also, to talk about coping skills. Steve can get us there to talk about coping skills.
But I can't cope once we're there. So.
Humor columnist, certified laughter leader, and a regular on All Sides for 3 years now, Pat Snyder. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Question for our listeners. We know we love to laugh, so we want to hear about your disasters because it's so much fun to laugh at disasters. The best way to cope with travel is to laugh at it, so it's time to dish on Thanksgiving. What's your worst travel disaster? Share it with everyone so we can all benefit from the therapy of laughter. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I was just saying the only disasters I have because I don't travel at Thanksgiving is, you know, at home cooking Thanksgiving
so it's
dinner.
A disaster for the people traveling to visit you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm saving that for Wednesday. I have a Robin from the Dispatch coming in on Wednesday to talk about cooking disasters. So, but is there a set of questions, Steve, that one should ask oneself when considering the idea of traveling for Thanksgiving?
Am I strong enough? That's probably the
basic.
Do you
have the constitution for it?
but actually, really, just planning is the key. Plan ahead, and you can reduce the number of these disasters just by a little planning. It's when we try to do things at the last minute, rush to the airport, and go that a lot of problems happen. So I always suggest a little planning, and in my job, you know, I've learned what to plan, how to do it a little bit. I still run into problems, and as much as I travel, so definitely planning ahead.
And planning, Pat.
Well, what came
easier
to mind?
Easier said than done.
Well, yeah, I'm such a par excellence planner. I wonder if your planning includes taking a sleeping bag and some extra food and water for the things we've seen on the nightly news about airports at the holidays.
I've never taken a sleeping bag, but that's not a bad idea. Yeah. A little neck pillow is always a good idea.
Dark chocolate.
An extra movie for your laptop when you miss the plane and you've got an extra 2 hours to kill. So things like that. Making sure your iPod is full and up to date with your favorite music.
Make sure you bring your recharge.
Absolutely.
That's what I've forgotten to do a few times.
And one great thing, if you haven't been to the airport in a long time, is there are a lot more places to recharge now. It used to be 5 years ago, you had to go search for the place where they were plugging in the vacuum cleaner. That was the trick. You knew
in the floor,
right? Yeah. Was there a carpeted area you could find a plug? But now airports have made allowances for all the people who are charging.
You know, the increase in travel is sort of shocking when you think about what you see on television. You know, every Thanksgiving they have the stories on the nightly news about people getting camping out in the airports, and who keeps going back to the airports every year? They obviously don't watch the news.
They say that pain and distance equals humor. And so I guess by the time a year has rolled around, the distance is sufficient.
It's like giving birth. We'd go extinct if you
right.
could remember.
Otherwise, we'd all have one child. So.
Right.
I suggest that families start a tradition of holding Thanksgiving a week later. And then you can miss all the traffic. This is our Thanksgiving. We have it a week later.
It's an idea. So. I read one article that said you should go abroad at Thanksgiving.
Well, there you go.
Because they don't have all the traffic problems.
Apparently so. Yeah, the rates are good. Of course, your family might not be too happy. So I won't be showing up this year.
I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And with me in the studio today is Steve Stevens, travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch, and also Pat Snyder, a humor columnist, certified laughter leader. You've heard her many times on All Sides. So if you want to share your disaster story, because we love to, you know, misery loves company, and it also can... you know, when you look back on it, if you can talk about it, it's often funny. So 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Nancy in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Hi there. Hi, Pat. Hi, Steve. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
This is the story of an almost travel disaster. So just
the best kind.
I think it reinforces the point to do a lot of planning ahead. Ask questions. Get information, more information than you might even need. Back in the mid-1980s, my husband and I took a one-week honeymoon to Scotland, and we mostly stayed on the West Coast in small hotels. It was very lovely and so forth. And one day we decided to take a very small boat run by a couple to the Isle of Skye. And we spent the day there just roaming around. We knew kind of when the boat was returning. I guess we asked that many questions.
That's planning ahead.
Yeah. So late that afternoon, we wandered back to the dock, and there was the couple, and really it was like a canoe. It wasn't any kind of ferry. What we didn't know was that that was the very last return trip from Skye to Scotland for the season.
Oh, all for the season.
So we were almost stranded for the winter on the Isle of Skye.
But imagine the story you could have told after that winter.
Now, in those days, I don't know what it's like today, but in those days, from asking questions after the fact, there was no special hiring to go back, you know, to get off that island, because that couple probably took their little canoe boat and just left.
Oh, my.
So this reinforces the point about planning, and to this day, we feel very fortunate that we didn't have to spend the winter on the Isle of Skye. That might have hurt the marriage, lost jobs.
Yeah, not a great way to kick it all off, is
it?
Yeah. Wow. Oh. Well, thanks.
Okay.
Yes, thanks for the reinforcement.
Check those departure times.
Yeah.
All right. Take care,
Bye.
Nancy. 614-292-8513 if you want to share your disaster story. Steve, do you have any disaster stories yourself, or is it not necessarily holiday related?
Well, my disaster stories are all basically just lost days because of airplanes, weather, mechanical delays, and when you travel a lot, you just have to expect that. And so for some people, of course, traveling this time of year, if you miss a day, if you have to go back the next day, then that can be a disaster if you look at it that way. But I try to just take it all with a grain of salt and realize that, you know, it's part of travel. And it gives us stories later. I've had run-ins at airports trying to get standing in line, other people getting angry. I try never to get angry. Don't get angry.
Which makes you think of the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
exactly.
Of course, that Steve Martin scene with the ticket lady.
Right.
Can't repeat it on the air.
But most of my disasters aren't really disasters. I have to look at them as just challenges on the road.
Pat?
Real disasters?
Yeah.
Well, I was the recipient of someone's almost disaster when my niece, traveling with her new baby, called to say she had missed her flight from Logan and was trying to book another flight. The only little hitch was that the baby drank only goat milk, and she was going to try to make it from Logan to Hartford, I guess, for a different flight. She could only come for Thanksgiving if I could locate some goat milk between the two airports. So it was kind of a high anxiety time, but thanks to Google and Whole Foods, I found a store. They finally made it and arrived only a few hours late for Thanksgiving dinner.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I guess the moral of that is pack some extra goat
milk
with you.
And I'd always know the location of the nearest Whole Foods.
Exactly.
But do they let you bring things like baby formula on planes and stuff now?
Baby formula, yes.
Okay.
Sometimes the mothers actually have to taste it. But it's a very good point. Part of the planning on a plane is that, remember, you're only allowed to carry 3.4 ounces containers on your carry-on. So if you're carrying a nice bottle of champagne in your carry-on, you're just going to help the TSA have a nicer party for Thanksgiving. And this does happen. I mean, people carry bottles of wine. They just forget or they haven't flown in a while. And so don't carry liquids. And that includes gravy. I was just on the TSA site this morning. It includes gravy. It includes cranberry sauce. Now, pies
and
baked goods are okay.
Wow.
But liquids, no.
No.
I totally understand the gravy thing. If I had somebody coming who really knew how to make gravy, I would so tell them to bring it.
Yeah, they've got to make it there. Or they have to check it through. Check the gravy in your checked luggage.
Well, speaking of Whole Foods, not to be a Whole Food day, but I the person who's making the turkey this year, I said, don't forget the gravy. And they texted me back and went, oh. I went, oh, geez, they don't make gravy.
So make sure
I said,
it's not in their check-on.
Bring the giblets with you. But I was at Whole Foods and I ended up buying gravy there. I'm like, just to be safe.
Yeah, good idea.
Jenna in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jenna.
Hi, thank you. I guess I wanted to call and tell you a story. When I was a kid, we lived in Houston, but all of our family was back here in Columbus. So we drove through the night to get here for the holidays with all of our luggage on top of our minivan. And at one point on a two-lane road in Texarkana, all of our luggage flew off the top of our van and got struck by a semi coming the opposite way. So,
you win the prize.
We're laughing with you, Jenna.
Everything was scattered in trees, underwear, and curling irons, and all of my dad's guitar was just hanging from trees. Yeah. And in the midst of the entire fiasco, there was a family of armadillos that also got hit. So there was blood on everything that remained salvageable.
It's hard to see the bright side in that, I'll admit. That would be, you'd really be.
So how did everybody cope with this? Did someone have a tantrum or did anyone flip out or anything?
No. Well, my parents, I suppose, flipped out a bit and told us all to stay in the car. Somebody that lived close by heard the commotion and came out and helped grab some things. But basically, once we got to Columbus, the bright side is my grandmother took us all out shopping for all new clothes. So.
So that might be a travel tip.
Upside.
Yes.
Pack your old things. Tie them loosely to the top of the car. And you might be going shopping.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Jenna, thanks. How old were you at the time?
I think I was about 10.
See, there's been a lot of distance from that pain. That's why she can laugh now.
I've seen a counselor a couple times.
Thanks a lot, Jenna. Take care.
You.
Have a good holiday.
You too. Bye-bye.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guests are Pat Snyder, humorist and columnist and certified laughter
leader,
and also Steve Stevens. He is the travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about holiday travel. Thanksgiving's the busiest day of the year. Do you have any good stories to tell? Because obviously we love to laugh at them. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Israel and Hamas this time, and what's changed with Egypt reshaped and Syria at war. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 46 degrees with some sunshine, a high near 60 today. A few clouds tonight, a low of 37. Partly sunny and a high of 58 on Tuesday. Support for 89.7 comes from Home Instead Senior Care, providing non-medical home health care to seniors in Central Ohio for over 16 years. More at homeinstead.com or 1-800-4-SENIORS. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And my guests are Pat Snyder, author, columnist, humorist, and also Steve Stevens. He's the travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch. If you want to join the conversation, we'd love to hear your horror stories about traveling during the holidays. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Oh, look, another story. Nicole in Dayton, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. A couple years ago, my mom and my dad decided to get their three children together with their husbands and their wives and their children, and we were going to go to New York to visit family. So we left here in Dayton, headed north, got about an hour north to Columbus, and the van that we had borrowed had broke down. And the two guys, the two husbands, mine and my sisters, had to walk 30 minutes back and forth for 2 hours to try to get a tow truck to come get us. Once they came and got us, they took us back to the nearest exit, and we had to sit there for 24 hours before we could find somebody to come get us either back to Dayton or bring us a vehicle.
Oh, my.
So we had to spend Thanksgiving at a minus muffler shop waiting for somebody to come.
How was the meal?
Well, the bad thing was when the guys were walking back and forth from the van to the exit trying to get someone to come get us, they had seen a deer that was hit along the road. Halfway through the night, the guys were going to walk back and get the deer, and that was going to be our Thanksgiving dinner.
I mean, you had nothing to eat?
Oh, we had McDonald's.
Oh, my gosh.
French fries and cheeseburgers were the best for Thanksgiving that year.
That's a disaster.
But we've learned that now on, when we do it, we always take one or two vehicles.
Smart.
And food.
Oh, yes, and definitely. And a cell phone.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because cell phones had just came out, and we didn't have one with us, so the guys had to keep walking back and forth. When the state highway patrolman came to pick us up to take us back to the exit, it was funny watching them trying to stuff four people and the state highway patrolman himself in his car to get us back.
Oh, my gosh.
But you all live to tell about it.
Oh, yeah. But to have to spend Thanksgiving at a muffler shop.
Yeah, that's bad.
That was
really
the best.
Okay, Nicole, sorry we're laughing.
It's okay. We laugh, too. We still laugh about it.
Oh, man.
So are you staying home this year, or are you traveling again?
We're staying home this year. My mom and dad are going to try it this year.
So okay.
We put a tracking device on their vehicle. So if it breaks down, we know where they're at.
That's perfect.
Okay. Nicole, thanks a lot, and have a happy holiday.
Now, here's a tip for people driving that I always say that it doesn't seem to make sense at first, but this time of year, if you're driving your car, get your oil changed. You know it needs changed anyway. You haven't changed it in time. And when you change your oil at your favorite garage, they usually check your tire pressure. Mm-hmm. They check your other fluids.
Right.
They check your wipers. They check to make sure that the lights are all working. So just go get an oil change and say, you know, check the little stuff for me. And as I say, you probably need that oil change anyway.
True.
And before you hit the highway, then you can make sure all that stuff is working. Your tires are inflated and at least you've got that much going for you.
Right. And
good.
Watch what you borrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, if you're borrowing, that's that's a whole other story.
Well, on a serious note, too, a way you can prepare that costs you absolutely nothing and is empirically proven or validated to work is be very conscientious before the holidays in starting to think about things that are going well, because it boosts your positive emotions. And if you can get your positivity level up, it helps you cope with all this. One way to do it that they've actually tested is to write down three things that went well at the end of the day. kind of a gratitude journal thing. Mm-hmm. And it boosts you up so you're at least in a good position to cope and be more creative about the disasters you might be facing and how to fix them.
Because you have to remind yourself that you're doing this because you want to. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be fun. And, you know, why not just be in the moment?
Well, the other thing, you know, is listening to the food bank folks on the earlier show. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all be grateful that we have the opportunity to travel.
Right.
I mean, it really is a privilege to get to be with people. And so get yourself in the best frame of mind to enjoy that.
That you really do have a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah. Well, it is Thanksgiving. I
right.
mean, I think
like
it's a
McDonald's
very appropriate.
French fries when your car breaks down.
It's not just a play on words. It's real. It's really supposed to be doing something about it. We got an email from Jen. I swear no one is actually from Columbus. I am not from Columbus. My husband and I are from West Virginia. Every year we try to leave Columbus the day before Thanksgiving and get caught in the mass exodus of the city. It seems like everyone is going somewhere else and leaving Central Ohio the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. One three-hour car trip has been a 5 or 6 hour trip for the past few years. So we have officially learned our lesson. We are driving early Thanksgiving morning instead of Wednesday night.
Yep.
A sign of the times. My mom has promised to DVR the Thanksgiving Day parade and not watch it until we arrive.
Don't tell us how it turns out. No
and
spoilers.
We can only hope that based on that report, everybody else doesn't look sick. Thanksgiving morning.
But Thanksgiving is the busiest day of the year.
Oh, yes.
It's the busiest
absolutely.
Day of the year.
Well,
but maybe that's for air travel. I don't know, but
it's a holiday that most people celebrate. It's
right.
secular and I equal think, opportunity holiday.
And it's a big family day, a big day to be mm-hmm. with your family. I mean, folks are thankful for their family. Where else would you want to spend Thanksgiving but with your family? So,
right.
and, your extended family.
And if spending Thanksgiving with your family is stressful, doing that gratitude exercise can help you through that, too. Just saying.
Number one, this will be over soon.
Just think of all the other Thanksgivings right. you survived. This, too, shall pass. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you've got a travel disaster story, we want to hear it. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to our Facebook page and post it there, or you can tweet it at WOSU. All Sides. Jessica in Dayton, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Hi there. Thanks Hi. For taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a story. It isn't about Thanksgiving, but it is a travel disaster story that turned into good instant karma. Basically.
It could have been on Thanksgiving, though.
It could have totally okay. happened on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
okay.
I think it might have actually been a Labor Day weekend kind of thing.
Okay.
So I was stranded in Augusta, Georgia. I was there visiting my grandmother for her 85th birthday, and this was a few years ago. And my aunt and my uncle dropped me off at the airport, and I was all set to fly through Atlanta back to Columbus, where I was living at the time. And about, I don't know, an hour before my flight was supposed to take off, there was suddenly this announcement that there was this huge storm front running through Atlanta, and it was going to delay or cancel all of the Augusta flights. So they essentially just suddenly shut down the small airport and for an indefinite period. And there were literally, I think, four of those deaths, the doorway for the plane, I can't think of what it's called right now, that it's such a little tiny airport. So there was immediately this huge rush of like 50 people into line. And the woman that I was sitting next to was in a wheelchair. And I thought about trying to drag her up there, and that just seemed impractical. So I just asked her if I should take her ticket and have him, you know, readjust her ticket when he did mine. So I took both the tickets up to the desk. And the man at the desk was really happy that I brought her ticket because, you know, she wouldn't have been able to do it on her own, and that helped him out a little bit. So essentially, this happened as they canceled the flight again and again for the next couple hours. And because I was helping this woman, eventually this man just came over and said, "Are you ready to go to Atlanta?" And I asked if she was going to be okay, and he said yes. And he led me out into the middle of the tarmac.
Are you there?
Yes, I am there. Oh. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if you all were still there.
Yeah, we're waiting. This is called bated breath. You know? Go ahead, Jessica.
So he leads me out to this door, basically. And I asked him before I went if this woman was going to be okay. And he said, "I have her ticket right here." And she and I hugged, because by that point we had become extremely bonded after having our tickets canceled 5 or 6 times. And he opened the door onto the tarmac and said, "There's the plane. Just run for it." And I looked at him, and I was like, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yeah." So I grabbed my carry-on and ran to the plane, and all the doors were shut. So I ran around the back of the plane, and there's a door back there. There was a stairway, and there was a door back there. And so I ran up the stairway, and I pounded on the door. And this really cheerful flight attendant opened the door. And I basically got onto a party plane. Like, this was the most punch-drunk group of people. They were coming from somewhere in the Caribbean. They were supposed to have landed in Atlanta, but had been redirected to Augusta to land and refuel until they could go back. So they weren't allowed to disembark because...
Right.
Or they were allowed to disembark, but they couldn't get back on if they did, something about the customs mm-hmm. thing. So they had a few open seats, which is why I ended up being able to jump onto the plane. And they had ordered pizza because they had run out of food, and they thought you were the pizza delivery
they
were excited.
It was crazy. I'd never met a happier group of people, and I think they had just been on there for so long because they had been circling and circling Atlanta, and finally they were land here, go away.
Oh,
and then I got to sit in first class back to Columbus because that was all they had, and So I guess the moral of the story is, if you're helpful, you know, all those other people back in the airport were still back in the airport, and I got to go where I needed to go. And it was a big lifesaver, because I think I could have probably been stranded there for another 6 or 7 hours.
Wow, that's a great story, Jessica.
That is a great story.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jessica. You know, I was going to say, there are things, you know, you can do to make things easier on other people, like not talking loudly into your cell phone, obeying the flight attendants.
You know, I was talking about these exercises that have been done to test what boosts your mood and your well-being. And one of them, which I was going to suggest, is exactly what Jessica did, which is almost making a game of counting how many kind things you can do for people. They've tested where people write down a whole series of things they do on their designated kindness day. And I think the kindness day could be the day you're at the airport doing holiday travel.
Yeah.
And just kind of see how many things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that it would get you on a party plane. But hey, it's an unintended benefit.
You know, one thing I did once or twice at an airport, you get kind of frustrated and you realize you're kind of angry, but you want to be calm and you want to talk to the supervisor and find out what you can do. Well, a couple times I've just started singing about my problems.
Yeah.
I've been in the airport for 5 hours, and I would really like to get out. And it kind of lifts the mood a little bit, but they're serious when you know you're singing.
Yeah.
You know, you're an aria about your problems. That's
yeah, this
right.
is not an angry person. This is a crazy person.
Right, and they want to get rid of you as quickly as possible, help you, and let you be on your way. So.
Once again, the Steve Martin scene from Trains, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles should be a lesson to us all. Larry in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Thank you. Well, back 50 years ago, I was in basic training in Fort Gordon, Georgia, which is at Augusta, and we were coming home for Christmas leave. And, of course, there were so many of us, they had the buses come right on the base. So I get on the bus, it says Columbus on it, and I sit down, and I'm waiting. And I figured, what the heck, talk to the driver. I had a question. So I go up to the driver, and I said, do we stop in Cincinnati on the way to Columbus? And he looks at me and says, this bus going to Columbus, Georgia. Well, I never moved so fast in my life.
But did you get the train to Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah, I did. I got off that bus in a hurry and got on the right bus. Okay. But there was nothing that would have let you know. It just
said
Columbus.
That reminds me of the story of the passenger, and this is true. It happened about 3 years ago. She gets on the air. She hears the plane called for Oakland. She gets on. And when she's over the Pacific Ocean, she finds out it's for Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, this apparently actually happened. So be glad it was only Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Larry, for sharing the story.
Okay.
Take
you.
Care. Bye-bye. Bye. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. We're talking about holiday travel. Ways to ease holiday travel and ways to live with it. And then also, you know, we obviously are in the mood for a great holiday travel disaster story. So if you have one, give us a call. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to the Facebook page and post it there. Brad in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I wish I would have had that singing strategy for what happened to me. I don't think it would have worked, though. My wife and I had just gotten married, and about a couple months later, we were on our way for our first big Christmas dinner at my wife's family's house. And I thought, okay, we got time. I'll stop at another friend's house, just a personal friend. I'll stop and say hi to him on Christmas Day. Well, I drove to his place, and it's way out in the country. And Germantown, Ohio. And his driveway is very, very steep. I drove down to the bottom of his driveway, and I parked. And it had been snowing a lot that day. And that was my mistake. Well, I knocked on his door. He wasn't home. So we got back in the car to drive to family dinner. Couldn't get out of the driveway. And we still had an hour to go to get to family dinner. So, and I'm getting progressively more and more outraged because I can't get out of this driveway. And I thought, this is going to look very bad if I don't show up with the wife at her family's dinner. And I'm the new husband, right? And so I finally drive into the guy's front yard thinking I can get out that way instead of trying to go up the steep driveway. Well, I got stuck even worse.
Oh, geez.
Well, we had no shovel. We had no shovel. So my wife's trying to drive, and I'm pushing on the back of the bumper trying to get this car out of the yard and back onto the road. And I finally look over at my friend's house, the guy that wasn't home, and there was no snow shovel, but there was like a garden shovel leaning against his wall. So I went over to get the garden shovel, and I'm working and working, trying to shovel out around the wheels. And still didn't work. And I got so angry, I took that shovel and I threw it like a boomerang against the side of the house. About 100 feet away, it just bounced off the side of the house and cracked and broke the handle. So I ended up having to buy him a new shovel handle. And I ended up driving back down to the bottom of the driveway. And this driveway, it was maybe 100, 150 feet long, something
wow.
like that. I ended up driving back down to the bottom of the driveway because that's the only place that was level. And I told my wife, I said, just get behind the wheel, and I'm going to just push with all my might. And we were able to barely get the car back up on the road, and we arrived at the Christmas
She just kept going,
late.
Didn't she?
But there were tracks. There were ruts and tracks all over this guy's yard. So there was a lot of apologies, plus a new shovel handle for him.
It was a heck of a Christmas gift to him.
Well, this is one of my best friends, and he has a great sense of humor, so he got a great laugh
out of it. Oh, jeez. Oh, my gosh, Brad. Hey, thanks a lot for sharing that one.
You're welcome.
All the
right.
funny thing was he was inside and just turned off the lights. And
he didn't want to
was just
push.
Watching, yeah.
So,
oh,
that
would
have been great.
Yeah. Take care, Brad.
Thank
Happy
you.
Thanksgiving.
Bye.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, we meet Irfan Khan. He stars in the new movie Life of Pi, directed by Ang Lee, and based on the best-selling novel of the same name. Khan also starred in Slumdog Millionaire, The Namesake, A Mighty Heart, and as a patient named Sunil in the HBO series In Treatment. He's also appeared in over 30 Bollywood films. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And join us for All Sides with Ann Fisher tomorrow for a discussion about how pets make us better people. Hear from an author who learned that from a rooster. And then join us for Tech Tuesday. It's All Sides with Ann Fisher Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon. And as a basic member of 89.7 NPR News, you'll receive some great benefits, including a one-year subscription to Newsweek Online, our airfare program guide, our FYI e-newsletter, and a double OSU grocery tote. A basic membership starts at just $60. Visit WOSU.org and thanks for your support. 51 degrees with cloudy skies, some sunshine today, a high near 60. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 37. Sunshine and a high of 58 on Tuesday, more sunshine and a high near 60 on Wednesday. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And my guests, Steve Stevens, travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch, and Pat Snyder, author, humorist, columnist, certified laughter
leader.
If you want to join our conversation and give us a call and tell us your latest travel disaster.
I'm a laughter follower myself. Yes, so,
yeah, so that's good, too. We make a great team.
Exactly.
I always want to say coach. That's why I pointed Pat and say, finish that sentence for me. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We've had a lot of great stories today with, you know, the moral to the story is just go straight to the dang dinner.
Yeah.
Don't stop at your best friend's house, Brad. And also be kind to others. Be helpful. Be kind. There's
could
a little.
Get you on a party plane.
There's a little. Get you on a party plane. Julianne in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Julianne.
Oh, thank you. I'm actually trying to get home from a trip. I was in Milwaukee and trying to get home, been stuck for 2.5 days, scheduling flight after flight. And I'm back in line to try and schedule another one.
Oh, you're and doing person, it all over again, huh?
Oh, yeah. The person in front of me is giving the port clerk so much trouble, and he's just so angry. When he finished with him, he just kind of had to take a deep breath, and he looks up, and I don't know why. I go, you know, you're just so cute, I just have to keep coming back to see you.
Did he appreciate that?
I have to try that instead of singing.
He got the joke. He got the joke.
I can't imagine being on the receiving end of everyone's anger in this travel city. That would be tough. So good for you.
You know, what could I do? I was stuck. I was calling into my boss every day going, I'm not going to be back yet.
Where were you stuck? You said Milwaukee?
Yep.
Well, they have beer there.
Brewery tours. That's my recommendation.
Right. It's so funny because after he finished laughing and the like, he scheduled me, and I got on the next plane.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I didn't know I was first class.
Wow.
See? This kindness pays off.
Oh, another moral to the story.
That's right.
Be nice to the ticket person. All right. Julianne, thanks for that. Take care.
Bye, day.
Yeah, bye-bye. 614-292-8513. We have an email. If you want to email us, you can send that to allsides@wosu.org. This is a little lengthy, but I'm going to say it's going to be worth it. It's from Angie. In 2008, we took our children, then 6 and 10, to Germany and Austria for 2 weeks. 2 nights before our departure, I accidentally washed my husband's and son's passports. We spent the day before we left searching for the American consulate in downtown Munich. Our GPS kept directing us to turn right, but the GPS system didn't realize there were huge concrete barriers and men with machine guns preventing us from turning. We finally found a parking space on the street. We got to the consulate just in time for them to leave for a two-hour lunch. So we trekked back to the car only to see a police officer about to ticket our car. He took pity on us and showed us where to pay. After we had a lunch of peanut butter sandwiches in the car, we went back to the consulate, stood in line, went through two searches, and waited for another hour to be told that my husband needed a new passport at the generous price of $75, but that my son's was not too damaged and we could use it. It was a great trip anyway, and we always enjoy telling this story. Happy Thanksgiving. P.S. for your earlier emailer, I am actually from Columbus. Okay. All right.
Hey, I'm a Columbus lifer, too, so there are at least two of us.
I'm not. I'm a transplant, but, you know, I've been here as long as I've ever lived anywhere, so I guess I can be almost official, right? Lynn in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
Story. It's not a Thanksgiving, but it's a travel story. And we traveled years ago. We were traveling north to Michigan, and we did it at night because we had a toddler with us who was 7 and 10 years younger than his siblings. And of course, there was a major breakdown with the car. This was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and until we got the tow truck to come and they actually put the whole car on a flatbed, that was the best field trip we could have ever planned for our kids. They loved it. So we went to a pancake place to wait for the person who's going to assess the car at 7:30 in the morning to get in. And then it took him hours to assess it and determine and do the work. But as he was assessing it, we were so exhausted. And I said, I really have to sleep. So my husband was willing to walk the children down the highway road and take them somewhere on another field trip. And they did this. They would not do it now. But they actually let me get in the car. And they hoisted it up on the lift and worked on the underside of the car while I napped. is this every mother's dream?
No one, a blessing in disguise.
No one can get at you. You're up
no,
there.
No, it was amazing. And it reminded me of the story Irma Bombeck would tell when she wanted to get writing done. She said, you get a really big playpen and put it out in the middle of the room. You get in it with your typewriter and let the kids try.
Yes. That's a good one, Lynn. Oh, my gosh. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's great.
We got on the road about 2 in the afternoon, and I was well-rested, the only one of us, actually.
I bet.
Got to love your husband, too, right?
Absolutely. He's a dear.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a happy holiday.
You too.
Bye-bye. Michael in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Ooh, yeah, we're good. How are you?
Okay, I had a travel story for you. I'm pretty good. We're good now. We're great. We're in Columbus chilling. Brand new baby. But
congratulations.
Last January, we had spent December in Boulder, Colorado, which was a very cool place. So we'd had a long month. And then we got a bus ticket from San Francisco, which is relatively close, down to Denver, we made it as far as Denver. The ticket was actually all the way to Columbus. Why we took the bus, I have no idea, but it was a terrible idea in the winter. The bus was laid over in Denver because all the roads were closed due to snow for an indeterminate amount of time. So we slept in the bus station, which made us not the most agreeable people to deal with in the morning. During an argument that we were having after sleeping in a bus station floor, my fiance completely lost it and just wanted to stop the argument. So she screamed aloud. Well, the security officer came over and arrested us both. Her for disturbing us peace, me for trespassing. And we went to jail.
Oh,
and we
my.
Spent the night in Denver jail. The case was thrown out. They thought it was completely ridiculous. But we were barred from the bus station.
At least you didn't have to sleep in the bus station the next
night. Yeah, I was wondering, how was upside. The jail? How was the jail for sleeping compared to the bus station?
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. And then they released us separately, so we had to find each other in a strange city. Yeah, it was...
How did you get out of there?
Well, actually, we ended up calling her parents, and then we hitchhiked half the way back to Columbus.
Oh, my gosh.
And we ended up getting a ride the rest of the way. On the bright side,
yeah,
we were recently living in Pennsylvania, and her mother arranged the move, And we had one small problem where the brakes went out on the U-Haul trailer. But she had that resolved in milliseconds, and the trip went seamlessly. She had it perfectly planned. Everything was moved. Everything was organized. When we got there, everything was perfect. Her mother was a godsend.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No one's ever done something that nice.
I've never seen it happen that easily before. And
she sounds like a keeper.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was excellent. Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, Michael.
She should start a trip planning business. Yes. We all could use that kind of service.
Yes. Wow, that's great, Michael, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. 614-292-8513. If you're just joining us, my guests are Steve Stevens, travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch, and Pat Snyder, humorist, author, and columnist. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. Of course, if you're just joining us and you haven't figured it out by now, we're asking for disaster travel stories. So.
They don't all turn out like this. Yeah. No,
we just want
like
the disasters.
These are not typical stories.
Our mission is to curtail holiday travel. The numbers have just dipped.
I don't even like to go out on Thanksgiving or the night before to do anything because, boy, that's a dangerous night. Everyone's running out to get their marshmallows and candy yams, and it's terrible. So I just send my husband out to do it all. Janet in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Janet.
Hi. Well, years ago, I worked for an international company, and we provided tennis professionals to resorts and hotels all over the world. And in 1979, we were sending our first tennis pro to the Intercontinental Hotel in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, it's quite a long trip. He flew from Honolulu, and when this kid, young guy, Bill, got there, the authorities took his passport, and usually it's very easy. You get the hotel's got people there, they pick you up and take you to the hotel. Well, the authorities put Bill in this kind of cage out on the tarmac of the airport and just left him there for such a long time. He started sending out paper airplanes asking people to please contact the American Embassy.
Is he still there?
So he was really in a cage, you're saying.
He was in a little cage. Yeah,
before cell phones.
About him. Yeah, oh, this is before cell phones. And, you know, it was really hard to communicate anyway, so he ended up getting help. But he stayed there a couple of years, but the cage was about the worst thing we ever heard of. It was funny.
So always travel with paper airplane makings. Yes.
That's part of the preparation.
Right. Always have a
origami kit or your little
paper.
Yeah, that's the secret. Thanks a lot.
Oh,
really
that's
fun
great.
Show.
Thanks, Janet.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the things you have to remember to bring these days. And they tell you to pack light.
That's
now, what's
right.
that all about? What do we mean by packing light these days anyway, Steve?
Well, I never travel with check-through luggage. I always travel with carry-on. I find even for longer trips, I can usually make that do. You can always get stuff cleaned on the road, and you don't have to worry about the luggage not finding you. And also these days, airlines, a lot of airlines will charge you for that extra luggage. I usually carry like a little folded-up duffel bag in my carry-on in case I would happen to find something that I really need to bring back, then I can check something through. But packing light is packing light. And again, if you do it often enough, you kind of learn what you have to have and what is just kind of nice to have.
Yeah, but you have to make sure you get the liquids down to 3.4 ounces.
Exactly,
that's a problem.
Yeah, if you're not checking baggage,
then it doesn't matter.
Right, you can't bring the gravy. So,
right.
Yes, again, it's.
Let's see. Ooh, Tess in Westerville. Hi, Tess. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes. I have a home in France, but it's in rural. It's about 45 miles northeast of Paris, going towards Germany, towards Strasbourg. And the nearest kind of largest town is called Meaux, like Brie de Meaux, and it's outside of Paris. And they have a market on Saturday, and so I was there by myself one Saturday morning in July, and I head out to go to the market, about a 20-minute drive. I stop and get gas at the town at a self-service place where there was an actual person there, and I put leaded fuel in my unleaded car.
Oh.
Which I have never done, because usually you can't do it because of the gas thing.
Right.
But this one, you could. So I took off, and of course the car broke down, and I realized what I had done. And the unfortunate thing was that this was Bastille Day. So,
which is comparable to what?
The 4th of July.
Okay.
And bigger even for them. And the night before is when they really party and celebrate. And the next day, pretty much like the market and stuff will be open in the morning, but then everything closes again, national holiday. And nobody was at the rental car place, on the phone, nothing. I'm trapped. I walked for 2 miles. Everything closed, and I finally ended up in a Portuguese bar. This town has a large Portuguese community with about 30 drunk Portuguese men and one very, very husky, brusque female bartender. And I finally got a, and my phone's running out of batteries. I finally got a hold of the car place, and they said, we will send a cab for you and take you to the airport at Charles de Gaulle. And I'm a good, you know, 50, 60 kilometers from there. By this time, I'd been with these people for like 4 hours, and they played this really loud card game, and they got drunk, and they would throw down the cards and yell. But I managed to communicate this with them. I didn't hardly speak French, and neither did they, but I managed to communicate to them that this problem, and I sat there with them, and they were very helpful. And they got so drunk that by the time the cab came, like 15 drunk Portuguese men saw them and escorted me out to the cab. Put me in the cab, right? Said, au revoir, And the cab drives me to Charles de Gaulle. I go in, and they wouldn't give me the car because I didn't have my passport. And I said, I have nothing else to do. I can't. So finally, the lady just said, I'm not supposed to do this. I give up. Just take the car. Because it was an exchange. I said, I don't have my passport. They said it was just an exchange. I specifically asked, no, you know. I'm like, oh, please.
You should have brought some of those Portuguese guys with you.
All 15 of them. But the lesson from that, I'll tell you what, is that I always carry a Xerox copy of my passport with me.
That's probably good advice, huh?
My purse. I used to do that, but now I scanned it and I have a picture of it on my phone.
Oh, really? Smart. Yeah. Wow. Smart, Tess.
So, you know, if I have to show it to somebody, I can, because you don't want to carry around your own passport. But on the other hand, that was a terrible situation. And, you know, so that's the lesson, is take a picture of your passport and keep it on your phone.
All right.
Or on your iPad.
I learned something today.
Ah. Excellent, right. Tess. Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right. We have just time for one more, and then that's all we have. Christina in Dublin, it says it's a short travel saying. I hope it's short because we're at the end of the program.
Yep, it's just a saying. Okay. When the plane you are on is late, the only time the plane you're trying to catch leaves on time.
Exactly.
Murphy's Law. Yeah.
My family many, many times. And even sometimes the plane is left early.
It's the old whatever can go wrong will go wrong.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I hope you're not going anywhere.
Nope, driving on Friday. That's it. I mean, on Wednesday.
Get your oil changed first.
Yeah, get your oil changed. Don't forget your driver's license and what
your
else?
Passport
what
on your
else?
Phone just in
Pack
case.
Some sandwiches.
You might end up in Canada and
you could
get back.
Be.
Yeah.
I actually just realized while talking to you guys, I have no idea where my wallet is.
Better go look.
So,
all right. Christina, thanks a lot. Good point. Very good. Very, very good point. Gosh, maybe we should get back together around Christmas and talk some more. There's a lot of disasters.
There are more stories out there. I have every confidence.
And we could laugh at every single one of them, apparently. So, well, thank you so much, Steve Stevens, for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me here.
Steve Stevens, he's the travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch. And Pat Snyder, as always, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Great fun.
A lot of fun. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thanks to everybody for listening. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.